Praise the Lord. Well, we are moving on in our series to the church, and we are actually in our final moments. It's actually next week will be our last message in this series as we've gone through the first letter in Timothy. And it looks like the next series, we're going to be going through the book of James. And so that'll be an interesting study that we'll be going through. Last week, we looked at killing the root of loving money. And we are to put all our trust and faith in God and be content with His provision. And I'm going to reread several verses that we already read through last week, in order to see the context for the verses that we'll be tackling today. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 6, and I'll be starting with verse 3, and you can either follow along in your Bible or digital device or on the screen up here. But I'll start 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 10. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith, pierced themselves with many griefs. We are seeing a lot of sinful things in that passage that we just read. Teaching false doctrines, having an unhealthy interest in conflicts that lead to sinful desires, sinful behaviors, failing to see godliness as it is because they saw it as a way for personal gain. The love of money leads to destruction. So after all of this, after Paul says all of that, Paul then goes to encourage Timothy in the next verse, verse 11. Let's read that. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That first little phrase, but you, man of God. It's a great description. I like that description, you, man of God. And then I'm thinking, okay, is that a description that could be said of me? Is that a description that can be said of you? Are you a man or woman of God? To be of God, well, what does that mean? Remember, a few messages ago, we looked at that master-slave relationship. But at the end, when we looked at our own lives, are we not servants of the God Almighty? Are we His? Or are we trying to be our own masters? To follow Jesus, we stop trying to do When we follow Jesus, we stop trying to do our own thing and we put Jesus in the driver's seat and we follow and obey His direction. That is to be of God. Again, is that a accurate description of you, men and women of God? Paul tells Timothy to flee from those sinful things. Flee from foolishness and harmful desires. Flee from the love of money that distracts and leads away from Christ. It doesn't say just to avoid it. It doesn't say, hey, just ignore those things. It doesn't say wait until there's a problem with those things around us, then address it. It says flee from those things. Flee from it. And as I'm reading this verse, there's two words that really kind of stuck out to me. Flee and pursue. Well, back when I was a police officer, those two words meant something different. But at the same time, there's significant meaning to those words. They're strong words that describe action. To flee is to run away like your life depends on it. To run away with all your strength and might. And pursuit is like the opposite, is to chase after with all your strength and might. Paul is saying to run from the sinful false doctrines and ungodliness. Run from the love of money and run with all your strength and might. Run from them like your life depends on it because it does. Those things lead to destruction, and if you want to hang around them, it's very likely at some point you'll get caught up in it and you will be heading towards destruction. But in an incredible effort, put in an incredible effort to flee from those things that can keep you from growing close to Christ. Flee from those and instead pursue, continuously chase after with all your might, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Pursue them. One author said it like this: we're given a picture of a person escaping from evils and bondage of sin. Well, we're escaping them because of what Christ did. But we're escaping from that evil and running after the things that are good and godly. Timothy is to pursue a series of actions and virtues that will help him maintain the character that's in line with Christ. It will also help him in his effectiveness as he leads this difficult church. This church is tough. He's to constantly strive for righteousness, that's upright conduct, observing the Lord's commands, to strive for godliness, to have an obedient relationship with God. He's to strive for faith, which we know, he was a follower of Christ. We know that he had faith, but it's also something that he can strive to have even more of. A complete trust in the Lord. Trusting Him for all things. He's to strive and pursue love. A love that I've mentioned before that isn't so much about feelings but about a choice. A love that's Christ-like, this agape love. A love that's not conditional. This kind of love it does take work. It takes practice to grow and chase after, to have and to show this kind of love to others. So when looking at another letter, Paul made commendations about faith and love in a way that we understand. We can have faith and love, but we can also grow it and continually pursue more and more as well. I'd like to read out of 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. The final two virtues seem to be random when we're looking at endurance and gentleness. But for Timothy, they were pretty important. Endurance, what is that? Endurance is to persevere. I should probably go back to my... There. Endurance is to persevere or endure suffering of many kinds. But think about Timothy and where he was ministering. This was a tough church that he was in. A church that was so tough that I would say probably it would make many good pastors leave. It's a tough church. Again, looking back at some of the things that Paul has said to Timothy about his health, I wonder if not, you know, Timothy may have been the right person for it, but it was a stressful place, and I think his health was reflecting the amount of stress and difficulty he was enduring. But Timothy had a lot of work to do in trying to guide this troubled church, to guide it back in the right direction. And endurance is sticking it out when he's emotionally, mentally, and physically drained from the stress. Then we see gentleness. Think about it. He's emotionally, mentally, and physically drained from the drama and dealing with problems in the church. And one author wrote, he was dealing with cantankerous heretics and wavering believers. I kind of thought that was an interesting way of putting it. I think that a common response that might be expected in a place like that would be not with gentleness. How does he keep that gentleness? It would be difficult and probably easy for anger to creep in. And I would imagine that many people in similar situations would find it easier to be rude, to be straight to the point, and even be harsh with their words and actions, as opposed to responding with gentleness. That is why Paul tells Timothy, don't fall for the trap that you see in some of those other things, but pursue gentleness in order to be the shepherd needed in that tough place. Don't fall in the trap of maybe anger or resentment. And when I'm going through this, I honestly don't have to go very far to see how this applies to pastors. I don't have to go far to see how, okay, when reading through this, how this applies to me as a pastor. I need to pursue those things as well. Yet is this applicable to everyone? And I believe absolutely yes. If these are Christ-like actions and virtues, should we not all be pursuing them? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness? Shouldn't all of us be fleeing from the things that take us away from Christ? Absolutely. Now, obviously, this isn't a comprehensive list, as this is very much context-driven, as it was written for Timothy in that time and that place. We know that we are imperfect, and without Christ, it is impossible to truly flee from sinful activities and pursue Christian virtues. But with Christ and His empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can. We have the power and authority in Christ, but we're called to action and to choose what actions we are going to do, which leads me into our next section of Scripture, and we see right away an action word, fight. Let's read verses 12 through 16. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Right away, that first word, that first verb, fight, refers to competing in an athletic event. Paul often used other sayings similar to this, run the race or train like an athlete. Those types of athletic competition sayings help us understand what is expected of us in our conduct as Christ followers. It's very active. And here Paul's returning to those types of events when he's saying fight. So when Paul told Timothy to love and to be gentle just a verse before, he's now telling him to fight. It's not a contradiction. This fight is not even against people. The fight is against the flesh and against the world of sin. Paul knows that Timothy's facing that tremendous opposition in this troubled church. Even though it might look like the enemy are the false teachers or those cantankerous and misguided people, even lost members. It may look like they're the enemy, but the true enemy is Satan. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Fight the good fight of faith, standing firm in Jesus Christ, and not allowing sin and temptation to carry us away. And I realize and have questions about how effective we are as fallen individuals to do this. But we can, when we put on the armor of God, we can when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and He gives us His Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be victorious over those. We can persevere because He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That little verse is found in 1 John 4:4. I say little because it's a short verse, but it carries an incredible meaning. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Think about it. Satan's going around. He's trying he's good at what he does, but he likes to deceive Christians into thinking that they're really not good enough, that they cannot stand against him, or that we're powerless to resist temptation. But what does that verse say? If you have Christ in you, you have victory. You have the ability to not only fight, but you get to enjoy victory. Back in 1 Timothy, we saw another action word or phrase, to take hold of eternal life. Fight for Jesus and keep what you were given when you confess Jesus as Lord. We're talking about salvation there. You know, we're talking a little bit probably about Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Taking hold of eternal life is never fluctuating from that. It's never moving from that. May your heart and mouth never deny him. But let's be honest, there's times that we sometimes have questions. There's times that I've questioned things, and I can't say that doubts have never come in. Certain doubts or questions, you know, what if there isn't a God? What if we got it wrong? Now I can say I haven't had those now, praise the Lord, but I can't say I didn't have those long ago as I'm working out what I believe. But I know that over time I was reminded that faith is trusting and believing something that I don't always see. Trusting is something that I don't always have the answers to. I read the Bible and I see God at work in it. I see God at work in the Bible. And I look around and I see Him at work around me. I've seen Him answer prayer supernaturally. And I know that God is real. I know that the Holy Spirit has preserved the Bible. His revelation to us is true. It's real. And I know that living according to His Word has made my life better. I know His Spirit has been at work in me and in my life. And I know Him. But it doesn't mean that I'll never have any questions that go unanswered. It doesn't mean that sometimes a doubt may creep in. And there may be a time where I need to pray, God, I believe you. I have faith in you. But help me in my moments of unbelief. It's a prayer that's found in Mark 9:24, if you wanted to look that up. But maybe the prayer is more like, I have faith, but God, help me to have more. As we draw closer to the Lord in relationship, our faith continues to grow too. As Hebrews 12:2 puts it, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Doubt happens because of our fallenness, because we have an enemy who's out there trying to put doubt in our minds. But in our relationship with Christ, we can ask Him to take those doubts, help us to strengthen our faith even more. It's okay to pray that. Getting back to our passage in Timothy, we are to fight the good fight and take hold to receive and protect the eternal life that we're given. God is the giver of life. Life on earth, yes, but also the life to come for eternity. And we can't forget that. We can't take life for granted. We can't take life, eternal life, for granted either. Don't think that God owes it to me. We can't think that we're entitled to it. Because what we're entitled to is death. We've all sinned and fallen short. We know that the wages of sin is death, and salvation is a gift to be received with tremendous gratitude and held on to with respect. I don't know, but that's something I often do in my prayer time. It's just thanking the Lord. Yes, I don't have any doubt about my salvation. I'm not saying that at all. But I do know that it is a gift that was undeserved. But because of God's love, He gives it to me. He gives it to those who receive Christ. Our Creator calls us to come to Him. God is calling us to come and to receive His gift. Come and put your faith in Him, that He may pour out His blessings on us, like the Holy Spirit, like the gift of salvation, and even an ever-present help in the here and the now. Then Paul makes an illustration, just as Jesus persevered during his time before Pilate, so also Timothy must persevere during his ministry in Ephesus. Persevering in ministry when it's hard. It's in view of what for Timothy. We are going to run into times in our life when being a Christian will be difficult. There can be trials upon trials. Persevere. Keep your witness of Christ Jesus. Remain faithful and steadfast in your faith and in your calling, and remain faithful in your calling until the return of Christ. When is the return going to happen? Well, we all know. No one knows the date or the time except for the Father. We see that in Matthew 24:36. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He tells Timothy, Jesus' return is in God's timing. So, persevere and be ready. How are you ready for the return of Christ? Are you ready? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord? If so, are you persevering in your faith and witness of Him? Remember, we serve the Almighty God that Paul describes that in that verses 15 through 16 of chapter 6, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To Him be honor and might forever. You get that? He alone, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is or are immortal. He alone lives in unapproachable light because He is a light whom no one has seen or can see except for the Son. God told Moses that to look at His face would result in Moses' death. But God gives Moses just a little glimpse. Moses was able to see His back as he passed by. God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He is completely worthy of all honor and glory forever and ever. When we get to heaven, we are going to be able to see God. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day. But until then, I'm going to persevere. In my limited capabilities, I will do the best I can to flee from sin and evil and pursue and fight for the things of Jesus Christ. Not to try and earn favor, but because He has already given me favor through His love, grace, and mercy. And I know that my actions are going to fall short. And that's why I rely on the Holy Spirit, who helps me to know when and how to flee, when and how to pursue and fight for Christ. Because I'm going to spend time with Him. And that's our challenge, to keep looking to Him for the times that we need to run with all our might away from something, or to run with all our might toward something. And I'm thankful for the scripture here that just gives us a glimpse of some of those things. Next week, we are going to close out our sermons, or our 1 Timothy, the letter. We'll be finishing that, and We're going to be rehashing some of the things we've already talked about because Paul returns to another topic we preached on, and then we will be looking at James. So let's close in prayer.